Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'll try not to.
Good morning, folks. Welcome to the Portland City Council. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams?
Here.
Leonard?
Yep.
Saltzman?
Here.
Stan?
Here.
Potter?
Here. I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity he or she is authorized to represent. Please read the first communication.
Well, we have no communications this morning.
Okay. Let's see. Commissioner Stan, you asked to pull item 1100?
Right.
Issue, but I have a substitute. Did we give that to you, Carla?
1100.
Yeah.
Item 1100. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, did we give you the substitute?
Yes, the amendments.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to vote on it then?
I'm sure I could. Okay. Do you want to do that now, Mayor?
Yeah, why don't we go ahead?
These are technical amendments to a contract that BHED needed to fix, so I would move the amendments that Carla's put in front of everyone.
I should read the
item
first. Item 1100, amend intergovernmental agreement with the Housing Authority of Portland for $291,000 to support the Humboldt Gardens Hope 6 project.
So I would move the amendments that the council has in front of them.
Second. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Stan?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Now we'll vote on the consent agenda. First of all, I want to ask, are there any other items that any of the commissioners wish to pull from the consent agenda? Are there any items that anybody in this audience wishes to pull from the consent agenda? Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read the 9:30 time certain.
Item 1089, proclaim September 15th to October 15th, 2007, to be Hispanic Heritage Month in Portland.
I think we have some presenters this morning from the Water Bureau, Bureau of Maintenance, to come forward and discuss this.
Morning.
Good morning.
Mayor Potter, if you'd read the proclamation first.
Okay. This is the proclamation. Whereas the Hispanic heritage of the United States extends historically over five centuries, which has been a consistent and vital influence in our country's growth and prosperity, and whereas Portland has one of the highest Hispanic populations in the state with an estimated 43,000 residents from over 20 Spanish-speaking countries, and whereas the Hispanic residents of Portland provide the entire community with culturally rich information centers and associations, top-rated media outlets, thriving businesses, outstanding artists, and theaters, as well as nationally recognized festivals, whereas Portland is proud to continue its sister city relationship with Guadalajara, Mexico, whereas the Hispanic heritage contributes to our diversity, thus enriching life and culture, cuisine, the arts, business, community, civic leadership, and education. Now, therefore, I, Tom Potter, Mayor of the City of Portland, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim September 15th to October 15th, 2007, to be Hispanic Heritage Month in Portland.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor Potter, Commissioner Leonard, Commissioner Adams, Commissioner Salzman, and Commissioner Sten. I'm Barbara Rice, and I'm from the Water Bureau. I, along with the Bureau of Parks and the Bureau of Maintenance, have formed a committee to celebrate this month, and I also would like to encourage the mayor, Commissioner Adams, Commissioner Salzman, and Commissioner Sten to extend and encourage their bureaus to attend this event September 18th, Tuesday, from 11:30 until 1:30 p.m. Commissioner Leonard, the reason why I did not mention his name is because he has already encouraged his bureau to attend this event. It is something that we've worked hard on in trying to put something together for the city to celebrate its Hispanic heritage and its culture. I think it's going to be a fun event. I think people will enjoy the festival, the dancing, the food, and the music. So I encourage all of you to encourage your bureaus to attend and have fun that afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, and just adding to that, it's going to be at Overlook Park. Last year we were at Peninsula and had a very fine turnout, so we'd like to encourage all commissioners and their bureaus to show up, the bureau directors as well. We've already sent out invitations encouraging them to come, as well as our own folks. So that'd be marvelous. Peninsula Park, September 18th.
Overlook Park.
Overlook, I'm sorry.
And Overlook Park is located conveniently on the MAX yellow line. It runs every 15 minutes, so there's no excuse why you can't come up there, have a little food and a little dance, and go back to work and happy.
What time is it?
I'm sorry?
What was the time again?
The time is 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m.
Thanks. Overlook.
Yes. Located on the MAX yellow line, again, mm-hmm. and also accessible by car from the Parks and the Maintenance Bureau. It's not very far. And I wanted to mention that the address, if you don't know it, it's North Fremont Street and Interstate Avenue. So that's right on the yellow line. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, folks.
Thank you.
Somebody having a birthday today?
Oh, yeah. Mayor Potter.
Mayor Potter, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Should we all sing?
I don't think so.
I think we should. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mayor Potter.
The Oregonian reporters aren't singing. Sing.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
Thank you, and that's a duly noted in the
records. The reporters did not sing during that one. Shocked.
they've got to remain in neutrality, and I understand that.
They've got to remain impartial.
They've got to be impartial. Okay. We're early for the 10, so I would just move to the regular agenda and start through that until we get to 10 a.m. So please read item 1104. You don't find 1104?
I've got it here, sorry. Adopt findings and grant an exemption from the competitive bidding requirements in ORS 279C and City Code Chapter 5.33 for the potential redevelopment of the 10th and Yamhill Garage.
Second reading, please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read 1105.
Authorize revenue bonds for urban renewal areas.
OMF staff.
Let's take a look here. Good morning, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Eric Johansson, the debt manager in the Office of Management and Finance. The ordinance before you this morning authorizes up to $277 million of bonds in order to provide interim financing for urban renewal projects in 9 of the city's urban renewal areas. As you may recall, urban renewal projects are typically funded through draws on lines of credit that we've established for each area. These lines of credit are later refinanced from the proceeds of long-term bonds that are repaid from tax increment revenues. The existing lines of credit that we have are due to expire at the end of December, so it's necessary at this time to reauthorize and reissue those lines of credit in order to provide continuing financing for the projects. The amount of the authorization is expected to be sufficient to fund projects through fiscal year 09-10. Upon the effective date of this ordinance, the OMF will solicit requests or proposals from commercial banks to provide the lines of credit for these projects. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I have a question.
Yes.
Do these bonds, in essence, authorize the construction of projects that the PDC has indicated they want to have done?
They authorize the lines of credit that provide the initial financing for the projects. And I should clarify, bonds in this case is kind of a generic term. The bonds will actually be in the form of lines of credit. So these are short-term obligations that ultimately get refinanced from long-term bonds.
We oftentimes have been told here as we raise questions about various projects and our inability to impact whether a project happens or not, that our opportunity to do that is when these bonds are sold. And so taking that advice, I'm looking through the packet, and I don't see the projects that are going to be funded by this authorization.
Correct.
And why is that?
The reason why is that the projects are not specifically identified at this time. They are included, I think, within PDC's out-year budgets going out through 09-10. We've established this amount as an estimate of those project costs, but we haven't specifically identified that it's this project, and this project that will be funded. So I think this provides the financing, but it doesn't necessarily control which projects are ultimately funded or not funded at this time.
But does that mean that, just so I understand, does that mean that we're authorizing funding before a project is given the nod and that a project may be built then with these funds without it coming back to council before it's actually initiated?
I think the answer to that is that the control that council would have would be through the budgetary process. This doesn't trigger a financing. It establishes a line of credit in an amount that can be drawn against, but it doesn't trigger the financing in and of itself.
Help me understand the distinguishing characteristics of having a line of credit authorizing expenditures and the actual financing.
The lines of credit provide the funding for the projects initially.
Right.
So when PDC requests a draw on the line of credit from the city,
okay,
the project gets funded.
Okay.
At some point in time, then the balances on the lines of credit get refinanced in the form of long-term bonds.
And the projects have already been
contracted
and initiated. So my point is, what I'm trying to get to, I don't want to be disruptive in your processes, but I can tell you over the last 18 months, we have been told as criticism a number of times as we here on this side question various projects, your opportunity to do that is when the bonds were sold. So I just want to make sure that I've learned from that criticism and I have an opportunity to look at what it is that I'm agreeing to fund, which it sounds like I am doing by this vote.
I think the concern is a good one, because at the time that we take the draw on the line of credit, we've committed to building the project.
Exactly.
And have the financial
obligation. And then if I raise it then am I incorrect that you'll come back and say, well, you know, when you had that vote back on September 12, 2007, Commissioner Leonard, you didn't say anything, and that's when we authorized these various projects.
I think if you read the second page,
okay,
indicates the maximum principal amounts only by urban renewal area, not by project.
No, I understand, but what I'm hearing is that is the mechanism by which they actually fund the projects within the urban renewal area, by having that line of credit, that they're going to enter into contracts and then come back to us. And then at that point, and all we're doing is basically technically agreeing to what it is they've already committed to. So contractually, what I'm trying to do is, this has been a concern that's brought up, and I have in my mind filed that and said, you know, the next time one of these come up, I'm going to be sure to ask about what it is I am agreeing to fund. And it sounds like this might be the opportunity to do that.
I guess,
and I'm not because I don't necessarily support the various projects, I don't have any idea what they are. And I'm actually voting on a fairly hefty amount of a financial commitment that takes money from the school districts and the county and that the various jurisdictions without knowing what I'm getting for it. So I guess I'm asking, is it unreasonable for us to set this over until we can see the projects and what it is?
We certainly have time to set it over. The expiration of the existing lines is at the end of December, so we do have a little bit of time.
And I guess I'd also like to ask that in the future, understanding that this has been a criticism of us, I mean, I'm not looking to create extra work for you or me, but I'm also wanting to honor legitimate criticism, and it has been about this very vote we're ready to take, and I feel as though I need more information before I can rationally vote.
I think the right party to be at this table to answer that is going to be PDC.
I totally agree. But I think they have an obligation when they're asking for us to commit ourselves financially to tell us what it is we're financing. So I'd be interested in what the rest of the council thinks about that.
Well, I think it'd be useful to, having sat through those conversations that Commissioner Leonard mentioned as well, I think it'd be useful to break it down, break down sort of the relationship a little more. Examine and manifest, bring out in the open the relationship between this action and, as you're saying, Commissioner Leonard, budgetary commitments. Because sometimes the conversation over the past couple of years has been, we can't change a list of proposed projects because the bonds were let or whatever, with the assumption that these would be the projects. So I think it would be useful to just sort of tease that issue out a little more and bring it to the surface for discussion. I think it would prevent future misunderstandings.
For, you know, for clarification.
Effective July 1st, the city became the budget committee for the PDC, that even though this allows the issuance of bonds, they still have to bring individual projects back for approval to the city council, plus the budget preparation, which would include next year. This runs, I think, through 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of those budget issues have to be resolved before the city council approves that budget. So for me, this is a technical issue to allow the city to borrow the money, but the approval process is still in place.
But I'm confused because that's not what I heard you say.
Well, this establishes an amount of a maximum amount of financing that can occur in each district. It does not identify the projects that may or may not be funded from that amount. It's based on PDC's future budget forecast right now, but it is a projection and is subject to budgetary approval by council. So we're establishing the amount, but we're not saying that this project is getting funded, this project is getting funded, this one is not.
But what I thought I understood you to say when I asked that question was that the PDC, in fact, will make commitments based on this authorization to do projects.
But
before, those, and the council won't vote on those.
I think the commitments that they have to make must be consistent with the budgetary process.
Well, this is a first reading, so we, at a very minimum, we have a week to sort of have some explanation about the issue.
But I guess I'm also in a bigger question. I'm asking, is this the vote that the critics say you have an opportunity to weigh in on, or is it some other vote relative to bonds?
I think in my mind, the place for once the borrowing occurs for a project, then yes, the train has left the station. But I think the effective control that council has is through the budgetary process. And
I hear that. But what I'm asking is, what I've heard over and over and over from PDC is you do have an opportunity to weigh in on projects, and it's when you sell the bonds. Is this that vote?
I don't think he knows.
In my mind, this doesn't identify projects. This identifies the maximum borrowing amount for whatever projects end up coming out of the budgetary process.
So what is the vote that we have here at council that the critics have said we have an opportunity to weigh in on, aside from the budget stuff, which is brand new? But what is that issue that we vote on?
You know, from time to time, we have brought lines of credit that were for specific projects, maybe things related to projects in South Waterfront, for example, where we've authorized the interim financing for specific projects. And at that point in time, yeah, we've
But would we do that again on the projects funded by this vote? Would we bring them back again?
Only through the budget process.
Only through the budget process, which is a relatively, not relatively, it is a brand new process.
Well, I guess, Commissioner, from my perspective, as one of the people who worked really hard on getting the ballot measure passed, I actually think that the budget process trumps, this is part of why I thought we needed the budget process, to be blunt, because the argument was always, well, the council has control, you sell the bonds, but then there was a counter argument that always came back in that said, yeah, but you know, once we've done a project, you know, we can't pull back and we can't do a project unless we have the bond authority. So essentially we would pass a blank check,
right?
Bond authority.
And is that this vote?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter anymore because now the projects have to come through us.
But is that what we envision in the budget process to have happen? Is that, because I've heard different theories about that,
yeah,
that we will actually get specific projects we'll vote on?
That would be my expectation, and I think we would not pass the budget. I mean, I think it's a work in progress, but I think at this point the authority rests with the council, end of story. And so we need to shape the process and decide our expectations, and I think there's some very reasonable room to debate. For example, should we budget X amount of money, let's take something I know a lot about, for supportive housing and stay completely out of the question of where that supportive housing is built, who the developer is. We could make our decision in the middle of that. I tend to lean a little more towards sign off on this is what you're supposed to do with the money, give the development commission room to make the decisions. But technically speaking, we could say we want the line item detail in front of us as to exactly what the project is. I think the argument of authorizing revenue bonds more broadly on the front end makes a lot more sense, frankly, now with us having the budget authority later. So this would have troubled me greatly up until the May vote. I mean, it's, and it's part of why I'm pushing for the May vote. I don't necessarily think you're wrong on this. It's something we haven't worked quite through yet.
I appreciate your explanation, but what I'm still looking at here is a total amount of $277 million we're authorizing a line of credit with this vote, broken down very specifically by districts. Downtown Waterfront's $52.7 million, South Block, Park Block's $34 million. So I'm assuming they went in and identified projects that add up to those amounts within urban renewal areas.
I think they've looked at their financial forecasts, have a sense of the projects that they think are going to happen, but until they're authorized through the budget process.
Yeah, I guess I'm just saying I don't think it's an onerous request to have whatever it is that they use to develop those numbers given to us as well. I mean, I'm just uncomfortable having a vote like this, notwithstanding that we can get involved in more detail in the budget process without a minimum having the documentation that supports the $277 million. They must have worksheets or something we can look at.
Yeah, if it's council's desire before next week, I can get the background for that. The number that we came up with. I should point out that of the $277 million, about $98 million of that is rolling over balances on existing lines of credit.
I would just like to see that identified.
Sure.
There's nothing here that lets me know that. So I would like to have whatever it is they had in putting this together.
Yeah, and just to be clear, I certainly have no argument with that, and I think that's actually part of the building process towards having a collaborative budget. I mean, the goal, I think, is to build a budget that the PDC and the council are confident in, not to have a power struggle over it. My observation over the 15 or so years I've been working on this, though, is that you need that final vote to get to the collaborative budget, and I think that's what we have now.
Yeah.
Further discussion? Did we have anybody signed up to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Is there anybody here who wishes to testify to this matter? Okay, it's a non-emergency. It moves to the second reading, and the information will be provided next week. Is it next week we'll hear it?
Yes. I'm hoping I get it. Can I get it earlier than that?
I think so. I'm hoping to get it out by the end of the week.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Please read item 1106.
Amend contract with the Latino Network and provide for payment of an additional $72,310 for the continued development and implementation of the Diversity and Civic Leadership Academy for the period July 1, 2007 through June
30, 2008. Say second reading, vote only. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
We do have a list here.
Pardon? This is a list. Okay. Yes. Please read the 10 a.m. time certain.
Item 1090. Approve the appointment of Alyssa Kenny Geyer to the Allocation Committee for the Children's Investment Fund for a term to expire June 30, 2009.
Mr. Saltzman?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I think many of you know the Portland Children's Investment Fund has a 5-person allocation committee that makes decisions about which programs we invest in. That committee consists of a city commissioner, a county commissioner, a citizen nominated by the Portland Business Alliance, a citizen nominated by the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners, and before us today would be Alyssa Kenny Geyer, who will be our citizen representative representing the city of Portland. She will be replacing Dr. David Willis, who has served us well for 4 years. Just to refresh everyone's memory, the Children's Investment Fund was created in 2002 by city voters to help thousands of Portland children who might otherwise grow up without a healthy start in life and the positive influences that lead to success in school and beyond. We fund, with about $9 million a year, 66 programs throughout the city, focusing on early childhood, after school and mentoring, and child abuse prevention and intervention. A majority of the children that we do serve live in low-income households and face many barriers, such as poverty, abuse and neglect, and school failure. But through programs we support, they are entering school ready to succeed, attending class and showing improved behavior and better grades, and living with families who are growing stronger through more resources to reduce violence and abuse. As I said, the Allocation Committee oversees the spending decisions of the fund, and we're very pleased to have Alyssa Kinney-Geyer joining us as a city-appointed member, if the council so votes. Alyssa, I think many of you know her. She comes highly recommended and highly regarded, having spent much of her professional life devoted to improving the lives of others, especially the youngest and most vulnerable in our society. Many of you have worked with Alyssa, know her dedication to children's issues, and her passion about the need to invest in youth. Whether it was in a nonprofit management or private sector philanthropy, she's always been focused on ways to offer help and opportunity to future generations. So with that, I want to turn it over to Alyssa Kinney-Geyer, if you have any words you'd like to say.
Yes, I'd love to. Thank you very much, Dan, for that introduction and also for all of your hard work to make the Children's Investment Fund become a reality. Just want to do a side note here and say happy birthday to the mayor. You share this day with my sister, Cynthia Geyer, and also with the mother of my husband, Neil. So congratulations.
I'm in good company.
Yeah.
You're in good company. I also vote yes on your beard. All kidding aside, I just want to say how honored I am to be considered for the appointment to the Children's Investment Fund. Research has shown over and over again that the investments that we put in early children's education, after-school programs, child abuse and neglect, have shown vast returns in terms of societal benefits, higher income rates, which helps our tax base, which goes to support potholes and bridges and fire and all the other kinds of things. So it's not just directly related to children. The Portland's elected officials and citizens worked together 5 years ago to pass this initiative. I think there's been a great collaboration between the city and county officials as well as private funders to make this a success. So I'm honored to be considered a part of that. The other thing that I want to, well, and 5 years ago I was the director of a foundation for a local business that really saw the benefit of that. And so I've really followed this very closely for the last 5 years. And I'm delighted to see the kind of impact it's had to help our local organizations expand their services to kids in need. Aside from the direct services, I just want to give one example of something that I've seen CHIF catalyze that you may or may not be aware of. It's been very exciting to me. In one of the early allocations round, the money that went to early childhood went predominantly to Head Start services because they are evaluated, and part of the ballot language was this has to go to proven and effective programs. But very little went to child care. And as you know, there's a lot of children in our community who are in child care, both licensed and non-licensed. And the quality across the country tends to be not very high in child care because these services are not funded to the extent that they need to be. And when the Children's Investment Fund made its early allocations, and I was on the Multnomah County Commission on Children Child Care Committee, we saw that as a real gap, that there wasn't a lot of funding going to child care other than a few exemplary centers that did have good evaluation in place. And so this was not CHIF's fault that it didn't fund in those areas. It was following the ballot language of investing public dollars in proven and effective programs. But we saw that as a real gap. And so we've been working, the Multnomah County Commission, with the child care division at the state, with Oregon State University and others, have worked together to put into place, to develop a quality assessment program called the Quality Indicators Project, so that early childhood education and care starts to have something that our public schools have now, where parents can decide where their kids want to go to school. So this information will go to parents, which means we hope that the demand will start increasing the quality. It'll also give information back to child care providers so that providers can make decisions about where they should improve their services, how they compare to other providers, and how they compare to national recommendations. And it also gives feedback, which is really important, to funders, both private and public, so that they can see if there are needs in the child care community, where should those dollars be directed. And if you have a baseline, then you can decide. Then you can see whether dollars invested actually produce a result. So CHIF really catalyzed this. Without spending a penny on this, the fact that the local community was willing to invest in kids, but we weren't ready to take those investments because we didn't have an assessment in place, meant that that whole system now has, over the last several years, been developed. It's been piloted in Multnomah County. And it's now starting to roll out statewide. So actually, Portland is a great example of how a local community can look at needs, fund its needs, and we're providing an example for the rest of Oregon. I hope that other local municipalities start to invest their public dollars and find private funders who will invest that using this new quality indicators tool for childcare. So that's something I've been involved in the last few years, and I really attribute the whole start of that to CHIP, so I want to thank you for that. The last thing that I just want to mention is I'm a part of the private funding community. I was the director of a corporate foundation. I've also for many years been on a family foundation, and I've chaired their youth and family funding. So I'm a part of a network of private funders who has really turned a lot of its attention now to how can we collaborate together among private funders and how can we collaborate with the public to really meet the needs of kids in our community. I know that Children's Investment Fund has a leverage fund where it invited private funders to match one-to-one some of the Children's Investment Fund dollars. That's really helped expand services, and I'm looking forward to working with the private funders to look at how we can collaborate programmatically, how can we look at where there's gaps or overlaps in what we all fund, and also administratively. You know, why are we all doing the same due diligence on these groups? Is there a way that we can support that so that we can collaborate on that so that more dollars can go directly to services for kids? So on the more immediate level, I'm looking forward to joining this board and making sure that the dollars that have already been invested are very wisely used so that we can make the case for that to the back to our voters and reauthorize this in November 08. I'm really passionate about this challenge and delighted to be considered for it.
Questions?
Thank you.
Please call the vote.
Adams?
Thanks for all that you do, and really happy that you're willing to serve, continue to serve. Aye.
Leonard?
I appreciated your remarks. So you are passionate, and that's a great thing to have in this task. So very happy to support you. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you, Alyssa. We do look forward to working with you on the allocation committee during the next few years, and welcome your enthusiasm and dedication for Portland's children. So thank you. Aye.
Sten.
Well, Alyssa, thanks for doing this. I had a little speech prepared as to why I think you're the, and I don't say this on every nomination, why I think you're, if I could pick one person I would pick in the community to do this, I would pick you based on your knowledge and passion, but I think you just gave the speech for me, and I think you're going to do a wonderful job, and I'm really glad you're willing to do this. Aye.
Potter.
And I really appreciate your thoughtful approach to this, because how we allocate these funds is important, because it's going to protect our most valuable asset that we have, our children. So thank you very much, Alyssa. I vote aye. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Please read item 1107.
Accept the Safety and Health Achievement Recognition Program Award for the Portland Water Bureau from the Oregon Occupational Safety and Health Administration.
Commissioner Leonard.
Thank you very much. It is really a great pleasure to be able to bring a resolution before council acknowledging the Water Bureau's great work in maintaining a safe workplace that has been recognized by the Oregon Occupational Safety and Health Administration, otherwise known as OSHA, through a program they call SHARP. And I just want to mention a couple of the criteria that they use in designating and awarding an organization with this award. The Portland Water Bureau is the only bureau in the city to get this recognition by Oregon OSHA, and it only comes after they have a very comprehensive consultation that includes inspections within the bureau, an audit of all operations, a complete safety and health systems review. They want to know whether employees are involved in establishing effective safety and health programs and are involved in maintaining accident and injury statistics at or below industry averages, or at least showing significant downward trends. They certify whether or not there is a management and labor system in the system to develop programs, as well as helping in making decisions that affect the safety and health of the workers. They look at the development, implementation, and improvement of all the elements of an effective safety and health management system. The Water Bureau passed with flying colors on all those counts. I'm very proud of their work, and turn this over now to David Schaff.
Good Good morning. I'm David Schaff. I'm the director of the Portland Water Bureau. With me are Michael Wood, Oregon OSHA administrator, and Eric Fullen, the safety manager for the Portland Water Bureau. As you know, we have two vitally important resources in the Portland Water Bureau: the water that we provide a quarter of the state's population, and the 650 people who work for us who provide that water from forest to faucet. Without them, we would not be able to do the things that we do. And it is our goal that every single day they go home safe and sound to their families. Excuse me. So achieving this award relies on teamwork. And I'd like to recognize a few of the members of our team. Eric Fullen, our safety manager. If it weren't for him, we wouldn't be getting this award and this recognition. We have a number of members of our various safety committees sitting here today. But behind me, if you'd all stand up, please. And in addition, we've got James Hester, who is here. James, if you would stand up as well. James is the council representative for AFSCME Local 189. They are our partners in making sure that we are a safe workforce. So with that, I appreciate very much the resolution, and we're very appreciative of the award. Thank you.
As indicated, my name is Michael Wood, and I'm the administrator of the Occupational Safety and Health Division of the Oregon Department of Consumer and Business Services. For some reason, we find it easier to refer to that as Oregon OSHA. And it is a pleasure to be here before you this morning to give the Water Bureau this award. I have been in my position for just over 2 years, and one of the things that I have been struck by since arriving in Oregon is the level of energy and commitment that the City of Portland has put into safety and health efforts across the board. I've had the opportunity to be here for your recognition. I've also had the opportunity to participate in the safety committee training 2 years. And one of the things that has struck me is the leadership throughout the organization, and I thank you for that. And I look forward to offering similar awards to a number of other bureaus in the not-too-distant future. But we are here to recognize the Water Bureau. And I want to echo the comments you've already heard about the achievement. The truth is, and this is not an exaggeration, that we're talking about a 1 in 1,000 achievement. When you look at employers and work sites and operations across the state, only about 1 in 1,000 can reach SHARP status. It is not an easy slog, and I think Eric and the other folks from the Water Bureau would tell you that it has not always been an easy slog. There are real issues and real challenges to address. Sometimes we have the opportunity in the conduct of our work to give awards where the work was easy. I tend to think that the awards are more meaningful where they reflect some real effort and some genuine commitment and some changes and efforts and long practices. Those are beginning to bear fruit. This is the first milestone on a continuing journey, and I know that the Water Bureau is aware of that, and I congratulate the city, I congratulate the Water Bureau, and I do have a plaque that I guess it's probably best to give it to you. So.
Thank you very much. So,
can we see that?
Yes.
Not if I bring it up. There you go. Thank you. Very nice.
Give out awards to other bureaus, you said?
When they earn it.
When they reach the same level of achievement, I'd be happy to.
Don't just hand them out willy-nilly. They got to do stuff to get it.
Ah, I get it. What was the most
Didn't BES get this?
One the year? Wastewater treatment plant does have SHARP certification, yeah. Yes.
That's true. And actually, they set kind of the benchmark for the rest of the city to try to achieve that status. And now it's kind of become a citywide goal. It's actively supported by risk management through the Bureau incentive programs as well. So this has been a two-year, I want to say ordeal, but it actually was a real partnership. Oregon OSHA and their consultation team that came out and worked with our folks in the field and in the office, partners with other bureaus. I know BES, the wastewater treatment plant, Paul Schuberg was also coaches along the way. So this really is a citywide effort that was focused in the Water Bureau, but we hope that it'll certainly bear fruit citywide. So.
And Mayor, if you don't mind, I'd like to take a moment to present what we call our commissioner's coin to Eric for all the work that he's done on achieving SHARP award. So, Eric, thank you very much.
I don't know if the council has actually seen that.
Yeah, tell us more about the commissioner's coin.
It was actually
Randy on it.
No, it was actually developed by
some wreath or Randy with a little wreath around it.
This is exactly why I wanted you to show it to them. It was actually developed by our chief engineer Mike Stewart, who wanted a. Something to be able to recognize really outstanding efforts on the parts of various employees and members of the public, and it's they hand them out sparingly too. I mean,
I probably have not handed out more than two dozen
right.
in 2 years,
and they're they're pretty cool. They have
what are they going for on eBay? Yeah.
They are very cool.
That is a nice hoping they don't go for anything on eBay, Commissioner.
They have the Water Bureau symbol on them and a Simon Benson with no individual person's name on them. I want to point out. So, Eric, you greatly earned this. Thank you for your great work. Thank you.
Anybody else to testify on this? Is anybody signed up to testify on this matter?
No one else signed up.
Okay. It's a resolution. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Well, thanks for all your great work, and we hope to have you back for more awards earned by more bureaus. So thanks for being here and being part of this presentation. Congratulations to David and Eric and Commissioner Leonard. Aye.
Leonard?
Well, and I just couldn't have been more pleased than to have this assignment from Mayor Potter for the last 2 years. I've had just a continuing string of great experiences with the Water Bureau and its staff, including their enthusiasm in opening hydro parks throughout the city. We just had the Water Bureau Picnic Sunday at our first one. It was a great event in an area that used to be closed off to the public. The kind of revigoration of the entire Bureau has been just really a pleasure for both David and I to participate in. This is a manifestation of that, I believe, and you guys continue to do great work while delivering water to every person that we serve in an efficient and really customer-friendly way, and I greatly appreciate all the work of everybody at the Water Bureau. It's a great organization. Aye.
Saltzman?
Congratulations. This is really as the administrator said, 1 in 1,000, so well-deserved, and keep up the good work. Aye.
Sten.
Great job. Aye.
Potter.
And I want to thank all the men and women in the Water Bureau, because although you folks have led the effort, they had to be part of the solution as well. So I want to thank all of the Water Bureau folks for that. That's a very prestigious and worthy honor. I vote aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We're recessed until 2 p.m.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.